This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving, Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks.
Welcome to Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of The Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Great! We're recording.
It's raining today. I thought that's just how you were starting the episode.
Do you want me to start the episode that way?
It's raining today. It is. It's like dark out.
It is like really dark here in
Westchester,
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
I'm really feeling the effects of the sun going down earlier.
Already? It's barely started.
I just have such a reaction to it.
Yeah, I know. You're very sensitive to the
environment. Oh, I get one of those lights, you know, and I put it in front
of
my desk.
One, yes.
I put it like right at my window to pretend like the sun's still.
Does it work?
I should just, you know what we should invent? And like, you can take this idea,
because yes,
we'll never invent it. Like a full window that can transform into like one of the lights, like slowly, almost like those glasses that you get, the transitions.
Transitional glasses? Can we talk about transitional glasses?
Please.
Because transitional sunglasses.
That's what
our glasses and sunglasses are one of the funniest things, because they never fully, they take such a significant amount of time to fully transition to the other one. And also, Jen, it's going to be very hard for me to take you seriously if you're going to make the decision to drink one of the free rain arousal flavors the entire episode.
It's so good.
Okay, but we also, in our fridge, we have stock with free rain. We love these drinks. Okay, but you could have chosen energy, but today you happen to have chosen arousal.
It's just so good. I know. Listen, I'll control myself.
Will you?
I don't know. Time will tell. It's so good. It's grapefruit.
It's just, you know, I just like that right now at like 9:30 in the morning, that's where we're at.
Who doesn't need like a quick pick-me-up of arousal?
Well, let's talk about morning sex. Just kidding. That's not what today's episode about, but we should do an entire episode on morning sex and why I think it's better than night sex.
Can you just mention, can you give me like the tidbits of it?
Well, by nighttime, I feel a little, I am just so done. You know
tired.
What I mean? Like after I like put my daughter to bed and I have like already like gotten, you know, when you like get your little spot in your mattress
and you don't want to move.
And you don't want to move, right? Mm-hmm. So I go into this place of like, oh, like I'm pretty zenned out and I'm like ready to get into sleep mode. And also like sleep takes me a while. So like if I have sex at night, I like sometimes takes me a while to like come down and fall asleep
right.
afterwards. Where my husband will just
pass out. Unbelievable.
Pass out in 1 second, no problem.
Right. I have like so many things going through my head, yes. Of like, I didn't get to do this, or I didn't.
So my preferred method is morning and or afternoon sex.
Interesting. I think afternoon's the move.
It is, right? If you're able to do that in your schedule with, you know, work from home.
Well, also in the morning, you know, like your breath smells.
Well, okay, you can get up for a quick second and brush your
teeth. Too much work. Once I'm up, I'm gone.
You're gone. You're
gone. I'm not getting back in. This is not what our episode today is about.
But here we are. The issue is, this is why I don't like video. So now we video record. We've been told we have to video record so you can make, you know, reels and all the other stuff. I'm very bad at looking at the camera.
Me too.
Okay.
Well, it's weird because it's almost like you have to stare at each other, but also stare. It's like
Hello.
Your eyes need to go in two different directions.
Perfect. Okay. Today's episode, we're gonna talk a little bit about owning a business.
Yes.
And being women and owning a business.
And also being in a helping profession,
yes.
And starting in a helping profession and trying to combine your personal self with your professional self. Yes. I'm using air quotes for those of you who are.
Right. Because like, what does a professional self mean?
Right. And so, and why can't they be combined?
And we've been taught, I guess, because the direct or indirect, very specific directions about professional is looking a certain way and talking a certain way, and like what that means to present yourself.
Right. And I think, I mean, at least I was taught growing up in a lot of ways that I can't get certain piercings, I can't get tattoos, I can't dye my hair because no one's going to hire me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good thing I became my own boss.
And you have none of those things.
And I also have none of those things. But I think about it all the time.
It's funny because, like, I don't even really think about it for the most part. Mm-hmm. My dad owned his own business. My mom was a private practice therapist. But I feel like I got those more of, like, people will judge you. Not necessarily mm-hmm. that it's professional or unprofessional, but just that, like, in general, people will judge you if you have those things. Mm-hmm. Now, as someone who has large tattoos on their body, it's like you don't even think about it.
Also, like, people probably judge you in a good way.
You think?
I mean, I see your tattoos and I'm like, they look fucking cool.
Jen, why? We should take an episode. We could record an episode of you getting your first tattoo.
Oh, God.
What do you think?
I'm down. I want to do it so bad.
Yeah, why don't you do it? What I'm holds so you scared. Back? Well, let's talk about it.
Okay. What holds you back now? What holds me back is it's permanent.
Yeah. What yes, if, it is.
What if I change my mind?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh, God, what was I thinking?
But you want to know what? I don't love all the tattoos that I have now.
Yeah.
I don't even think about them or care. I have a tattoo on my ribs that I literally always forget about.
What is it?
Exactly. Exactly. It's a saying, and I hate it, and it doesn't look good. And I got it when I was 18, and I don't even think about it or care about it, or nothing fucking matters.
So like, it won't even matter.
I don't know. It might to you. It sure doesn't to me, though.
I might still do it.
I think you should still do it.
I'm trying. I was talking to, I think, my parents recently, and I was saying to them, I'm trying to do all of the things that I think about in my head mm-hmm. that I don't allow myself to do. Like, I'm slowly dyeing my hair purple, which, you know, is a real slow process. What else? I got eyelash extensions.
Yes, you did.
Whatever. It's dumb shit that you're like, gosh, I want to try this. And then you just don't do it. And my parents were like, are you, like, trying to fill your bucket list or something? Like, should we be worried about you? I was like, interesting. Maybe.
Well, maybe it's not a bucket list. Maybe it's just, like, these are things I want to experience in life. And, like, what's the worst that's going to happen?
Well, I think.
If you get a tattoo and you hate it, you get it covered up with something else.
Exactly. Well, I think, too, you know, in a lot of ways, I'm like, okay, when this happens, I'll do this.
Mm.
But, like.
Like what?
What am I waiting for?
Yeah, like, wait. So, like, what would happen?
I don't know.
What are you waiting to fully dye your hair purple for?
I don't know.
Why don't you just do it?
I'm scared.
Well, tell me. That's what I want to hear, but I want to hear the fear. Because how much fear holds us back from shit?
Yes.
So whether that's starting your own business, whether that's showing up authentically for your business, whether that's saying exactly what you want.
Yes.
What's the fear telling you?
Well, I think it's just like, what if I hate it? I think that's always my response is like, well, what if I hate it? But like, so what?
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Right?
Like, well, that's why I'm starting to do it. You know, I'm starting to actually, like, make moves.
You are, ever since I've known you, you are very much dip your toe in to see how it feels kind of gal.
Well, this is a great segue because when we first started the business.
Oh, my Lord.
Because, Emily, I'm going to dip your toe in, see what it feels like.
I'm like, let's
think
fucking
about
cannonball
it
because
for a long time.
I'll cannonball.
But when we first started the business, Emily came to me and she was like, we're starting a business. And I was like, I don't know. Like, it takes me, and I tell my husband this too, it takes me a while to process things.
Jen, it took me like a year to convince you to take 95 as opposed to 76 to the office. Like, you would sit in traffic.
I was thinking
traffic
about that the other day. It was like 2 hours.
And I'm like,
hours.
Take 95, 76
I get
is
like
all
there. I'm so, you're so
and
right.
And then you're like, I took
95. It was amazing. Oh, it's so true. So it takes me a while to process things.
Yes.
I have to really think about things. So Emily came to me. She was like, let's start a business. And I was like,
no.
Oh, fuck.
You were like, no.
I was like, no. I have to think about things. It's hard for me to just say like, yeah.
I think, you know what, if I remember.
Unless you give me like one glass of wine.
That's true.
And I'm, I am in.
You know, I think what you said to me is, who's going to come to us?
Did I?
I think you were like,
imposter syndrome.
You totally did, right? So like when I talk about like fear.
Did you have imposter syndrome?
Yes, of course I had imposter syndrome, But my larger fear, my biggest fear is getting stuck in a situation where I'm deeply unhappy. Mm. Of feeling like I'm held hostage. Whether that's in an unhappy job or an unhappy relationship or feeling stuck in that way, that fear is way more powerful than the fear of, like, not being liked or not working out.
I think, yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I should just try to, like, manifest that fear and make it a little bit bigger.
Right. I mean, like, okay, so, like, it definitely took a long time for our business to take off.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Like, it well, really I think took a while for also, success.
I remember we were sitting in my room in that, like, on Rodman. Do you remember that?
Yes, you're that house on Rodman.
That house. I didn't have a door, and people would just, like, walk into my room. You didn't have a door?
And which you're the worst person to not have a door, 100%. Frankly, because you love privacy.
It was just triggering all of my, like, childhood stuff. Do you remember we were sitting on my couch and we got our first call
ever,
and they had seen our sign outside or something, and you said to me, you're like, this is a sign that this is gonna work.
Yeah, you didn't believe me.
No, I think I did at the time. Moment,
then you trusted
and
me.
And then maybe the day later.
But you want to know what? I didn't know if it was going to work. I just sure as shit knew I had to say that because I had to get you to buy in.
You're good. It's good.
I don't really know if I thought it was going to work at the time either. But I definitely knew, one, I can't lose the business partner. And two, I this has to happen. So, like, I have to tell myself. And I'll do that to myself a lot. Like, I tell myself, like, no.
This is going to work.
Like, I like.
You say it very confidently. Which is great. That's like, we went on a hike on Monday.
We did. We took an intentional mental health day.
And Emily saw these, like, huge boulder rocks and decided it was a great idea for us to just, like, walk over them.
Dude, we have a choice. There was a river. We had to either walk all the way and hike back around 3 miles, or we had to go across this river.
But Emily was, like, hopping over these rocks, leading the way, and she seemed so confident. And by the time we got to the stairs, we got over them, she was like, oh, no, I didn't know if we were going to be able to do that at all. But your confidence was so wonderful.
Fake it to make it to the next level. But I think that's a big part of business, of running a business, right?
Like, I don't think working for yourself. Talk about fake it till you make it enough,
right?
Because we really faked it till we made it.
Like, and I just had to believe this was going to work out. And I guess also because I was like, it's going to work out in whatever way it's supposed to work out. I wasn't sure if it was going to work out in terms of, like, us having all these clients or, like, whatever. But I knew that, like, this was going to develop into something somehow. Mm-hmm. And there was no way and I also knew that I would deeply regret it
if I didn't.
And that's a big thing for me, is I think that, like, we've talked a little bit about, like, you know, guilt is a feeling. Regret is, like, a thing that happened. Mm. And, like, I knew that I was, like, going to regret if I ended up working for someone else and then seeing them succeed and making them money, that I was not going to be happy in that. Mm.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready to eat meals, kids snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14-karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
So mine's not fear. I guess maybe it's fear,
it's
of
fear
regret.
Of something else.
It's, yeah, it's, yes, it's fear of something else.
It's
avoidance of something.
Well, you know, well, you know how people say, because I think that this is how I kind of function with fear is that, like, you feel the fear, but you do it anyway.
Yes.
And that was the same thing with the podcast.
Yes.
And
that was me with the boulders. Business.
Same thing with anything is that you feel the fear, but you still do it. Because you also prove to yourself in those moments that even though you have this fear, the fear is not a signal that you can't accomplish something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for someone like me, where fear is like very, really holds you back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so often when we have that fear, like our thought is, well, I can't do this, right? Like I won't be able to accomplish this. When really the fear is just a feeling and you can still do it.
And it's so interesting that there's a massive thunderstorm right now.
I feel like it was good background noise for like...
As you know, Jen is talking about fear.
Also, like I have a great segue.
Thunder and lightning is coming down.
I have a great
tell
segue
me, yes.
to that. I was terrified of natural disasters growing up.
I feel like that does not surprise me at all.
Our house got struck by lightning.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah. All of our windows lit up blue. And I was like probably 6 years old, and me and my brother were screaming we're going to die because he was like very dramatic. And then I just like copied anything that he did. So we were just screaming we're going to die. Nothing really happened. And also my mom was very fearful of thunderstorms.
Yes.
She would make us, and this was before lightning hit our house, she would make us put on rubber shoes and go to the basement.
Oh, shit.
I know. So, like, no wonder I was scared of natural disasters. I was like, put your rubber shoes on. Don't take a bath. Apparently, if you take a bath, you can get electrocuted.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, yeah.
But, like, talk about your mom's
anxiety.
But, yeah, like, talk about, like, your mom sort of, like, putting her anxiety, like, right onto you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And, okay, so that goes, right? So, if we grew up in a family that was, like, very into being professional, right? Like, some family. Okay. So, like, everyone knows I curse a lot. So, like, everyone's always like, oh, aren't you worried your daughter's gonna curse? And I'm like, no, I truly don't give a fuck. Like, because, like, if my daughter starts cursing, first of all, I believe that words are words, right? If she's cursing at somebody,
that's a problem.
Fuck you. No, I'm absolutely not okay with that.
And that's, but that's not what you're modeling.
No, I would never, ever address somebody in that term.
I also think when you hold back and say, like, you can't do this, they're gonna do it way more.
I just feel like I can't, you know
you
what I mean?
Make
I just,
it part of your
I
vocabulary.
Don't believe that, like, saying fuck when you stub your toe or, like, damn it. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think those are bad words. I think those are just words, and, like, we choose what we give words power mm-hmm. to. If it's at somebody, it's very different, right? Like, we don't ever use words to right. hurt somebody. That's, like, that is a problematic in our home. But so, like, yeah, like, I don't particularly care if my kid curses.
I don't blame you.
Right?
Also,
like,
also,
but people are good. People really do not like when I say
a
that.
A little kid cursing is adorable.
It's the cutest thing. But she doesn't.
And, like, how do you not
She
laugh?
Actually doesn't.
You know what I mean?
For how much that, like, we do in our home, like, she does not at all.
Because you're not, it's not a.
It's not that interesting to her.
Because it's not, like, a word that you're like, ooh, don't say that. You know, like, kids want to grab onto things. Because I don't know if you know, I'm an expert at kids.
You are.
but kids want to grab onto things that you say, like, don't touch that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like if someone says, like, ooh, don't touch that plate, it's hot, you're like, oh, I'm gonna touch that.
Yeah, right.
Same thing
course.
With like curse
your
words
cactus.
When you're like
your cactus metaphor
exactly. Yeah. And so you know, I think when you say to a kid, you can't do that, they're going to do it more.
Yeah. Okay. So whether it's cursing or wearing rubber boots, like, we get all of these messages from our parents, right? And a lot of those is like how we show up in a workplace. If I grew up with parents who wore a suit to work, or, you know what I mean, like wore a uniform, like any of these things, right? There's like a very specific professional manner. Mm-hmm. Should you go into work and punch your boss in the face? Probably not.
No.
That does sound unprofessional.
Unless you're like a boxers.
You know? Okay. Well, if any boxers were listening.
I know we have a large boxer audience.
I think we do have a large boxing audience.
So just MMA fighting, maybe.
We do. So, yes. All right. But like, right. So like when we talk about like professional versus not professional, mm-hmm. professional versus personal versus professional. Remember we used to do that?
Yeah, that was fun.
And then we went to M and Jen. We can do that again. But I think that there's a part of like, where one, what did we learn? And then also, what does society tell you, especially like what is different for women versus men?
I was thinking that just like I felt it. I knew it was going to come out of your mouth.
So we did an Instagram Live a while ago, right? Where somebody felt that we were very unprofessional because mm-hmm. we had glasses of wine. For the record, if any two men were doing that and they had beers and it was off work hours and it wasn't in a professional setting,
no one would ever say anything.
Nobody would say shit because we were having fun. And like the bigger part was like they were upset that we were having fun.
Well, I also think that we have a very specific model that we're building as mm-hmm. therapists. And I think that this is why we love to talk about this yeah. because part of being a therapist is connecting on a very human level. And so we get a lot of these mixed messages of, okay, you're supposed to connect on this human level, but like, don't be human, right? Like, but like, don't fully be yourself.
Yes, don't, yeah.
But like, connect with them on this human level. Yes. Like, how are we? I remember in grad school, I forget if I've ever said this, that we were talking about like greeting a client. And I would say, and I always say this because like I really do feel it where you're mm-hmm. like, hey, it's great to see you.
We were told to not say that.
We were told to not do say not, that because they were saying in, it's not about you.
When you walk in, they told us, this is what they told you. When somebody was in the waiting room,
yeah,
just say, come back, come on back.
Or just like,
yeah, you just like gesture. Wave them over. You gesture with your hand and wave them on over.
But listen,
I walk out to every person and say, I'm so happy to see you. I'm genuinely happy to see them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm actually very happy to see them.
It doesn't mean they have to be happy, but no. Like, yeah.
So that is what's confusing is mm-hmm. because, and we talk about this in like kind of the old Freudian psychodynamic yes. model, the therapist is supposed to be a blank slate. And so, but we were also taught come from like a one down position, connect with them like from a human level. And so like, how do you connect those two?
Yeah.
It's impossible. And so I think that even when we were younger and learning this, like we really questioned that a lot.
But you know what's funny is like when we got this really bad comment from somebody, do you remember what the thing that they said in there was that they are also a woman who owns a business and there's no way our business will last the way that we're doing it.
Mm. I mean, here's the thing. We're going to be, our business is going to work for some people and it's not going to work for others.
But that also made me really sad.
Yeah.
That person did not feel that they could like have fun and be lighthearted yeah. and also and be successful as a woman in business, yeah. right? Like, and that's really what I heard from that was like, I've never gotten to like relax and have fun at this.
Yeah.
Like that you feel like you have to have it together at all times. That seems so unattainable to me, and especially like within motherhood, right? Like so like the past few weeks like I haven't had like consistent childcare, and so like
it's been
so funny and so last week you and Nikki came to my house. Nikki watched Millie as I like that is like what actual community care is. Yes. We talked about Emily Nagowski's book about burnout, and she talks about that the answer to burnout is not self-care, it's community care. Mm. That was a prime example of what community care is.
And it was so great.
And that only comes from being open and honest of like, I don't have childcare and here's what we have to get done. Like, could you guys just come do it from my yeah. house?
Well, and I think too that when you have the space to be able to like be fully yourself mm-hmm. in all aspects of your life, it's less exhausting.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And because you know the feeling where you feel like you have to put it on. And when you're putting it on, and by the end of the day, you've like died a little inside.
Yeah.
I felt that when I was a waitress.
Oh, because you had to fake it so
much?
Oh
my God.
Yes.
I have never died inside so much. But when, as therapists and as business owners and doing our podcast, the thing that feels the most energizing is just to be able to be ourselves.
Yes.
But I think it's, in some ways, you know, because it's our business, and maybe I'm wrong, it's easier for us to be able to do this, where like if you're a woman in a corporate male-dominated job.
Okay, like I always think about like my husband's an engineer, right? It is all men, except for like two women there.
Yeah.
And all the time I think about like, wow, like that must be so different. Where like in our office space, there's three men that work here and it's all women.
And also, like, if someone comes in and they're like, I've had a really rough day, like, and they start crying, we're like, oh, hugging, my God, come here. We're like, you know, if you go into a corporate job and you're like, I've had a rough day.
Okay, but so, like, so then that's an interesting conversation about, like, if a workplace is run by men versus women, like, who is in power and what does that look like?
And how do you create a space that creates a level of safety for people to be able to be themselves and say, listen, my child was up all night. I had no, you know, I had no one to help me. I'm exhausted.
Yes.
I don't want to be here today. And really feel like you can say that and also get your work done, but like not have to put on a face in a lot of ways.
And I think that's a good thing to think about. Like if people that are listening that are business owners or are running something, like how do you make it safe for people to come to you? Right? Like, I think that greatly matters is like, what are our values? And this really is about like, what are your values and morals as an organization? Mm.
I think one of the things that we try to do with our clinicians is be really honest ourselves about where we are.
Yeah.
Right? Like if, you know, we spent a week where we took off all of our clients and we met with all of our clinicians just to check in with them and see how they're doing. And, you know, throughout the pandemic, like it's burned a lot of clinicians out. And
it's chaos.
It's chaos. And so we talk to them and we say, listen, we get it. Like we were there. Like, why don't you give yourself a little bit of a break?
Yeah.
Because I think in a lot of ways, as we were taught to come from a one down position with our clients, that we've also taken that into our business. And I think that, you know, when you're kind of in a manager role or you're in a supervisory role, to be able to come to it from not from like a power position, which I think a lot of this corporate structure puts in place, to be able to come to it from like a one down position. Like, listen, I was where you are. And I get it. Like, this is really hard. Let me see if I can help you or let me see what that, you know, like to be able to come to everything from like a humanistic one down perspective, I think is so helpful and gives people space to be able to talk about what they're going through.
Yeah.
Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner, were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packed. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon, or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
I think it's if you sit here and say, like, why does it make me uncomfortable to be myself in a professional setting? Mm-hmm. What's the risk? In some places, it's really not. And also, we're talking about this as two white women. If you are specifically a Black woman or a woman of color, this might feel a lot less safe, and it might actually be a lot less safe, right? So is it safe for me physically and emotionally to be myself and be more authentic at work, or is it really not? And if it's not, is that okay for me? Some people are happy to compartmentalize,
right? Some and they're good at it.
Some yes, they're so good at it, and they want it. That does not work for yes. us, but some people have no problem. This is, and so that's what we talk about, like, this is the importance of knowing yourself.
Yes.
Of knowing which one works for me. Because you don't have to go into work and be best friends with everyone you work right. with. Work can just be a fucking paycheck and that's it. And I don't care. And I have my hobbies on the side. I have my friends on the side. And that's what matters to me. So, one, is it safe in that environment? And do I even want that?
Mm.
Right? Like, for me, I want to be able to, like, have all my tattoos showing and dye my hair whatever color I want and do all these things. But, oh, he's going to kill me. But, like, Ben, who's here, is full, sorry, Ben, who's fully tatted, and he edits this, and who fully is tatted up, who always has it covered.
Right, always well covered up.
Right, that's more comfortable. And I think that's his more comfortable, right?
And, Ben, you can edit this out if we're wrong.
Or you can now insert your own
audio. Ooh, that's good. I told Ben I want to bring him on for an episode.
What I'm sure a lot of people, if we did a segment of Ask the Man, don't you think?
Absolutely.
People would be very interested to see, like, especially people that are, like, struggling to connect if they have ask a male the partner.
Man, therapist.
Ask the Man.
I think we should do the intro for it.
Ask the Man. Is that it? No. That's not it.
God, no. I don't think anyone's going to listen.
I don't think anyone's listening already.
I know. I think, should we do that thing where we send out, like, those like a present and people are still listening to this?
No, because then Nikki, every time, like, Nikki's face was like, please don't do that, because every she time she's just send out all the shit. She spent so much time in FedEx.
She, like, knows Nikki the FedEx people.
Literally just as Jen said that, literally went, I no.
No, in the background.
But if you did our e-course and you liked it and you want to give us a testimony, we'll send you free merch.
Oh, yeah. And Nikki's willing to do that.
Nick, she said yes. All right. She did give us a heads up on that. Okay. So let's talk about, like, in a business setting, professional. Another thing let's talk about is, like, your space.
Oof.
Now, if you're in an office setting, in a cubicle, some people want to have nothing up. And also, this is about safety, right? Like, if you want to have pictures of your family or pictures of your children, specifically, like, as a woman, and then people use that against you.
Mm.
And I think that can happen.
Absolutely.
So, like, safety should always come first.
I also think, you know, I'm just thinking about kind of a corporate setting that it's easy to, you know, I think people gossip, and I think that there it almost breeds this, like, okay, well, mm-hmm. I have to separate yeah. my personal self from my professional self, because it gives people more, like, ammunition in
yes,
a way.
Yeah. Well, okay, let's take Dr. Lindsay here.
Yes.
Dr. Lindsay, who's going to come on and do a few episodes at some point. One of our amazing clinicians, Dr. Lindsay Haston, who also works for the New Jersey prison system. Now, there is a very different thing where she has to, one, has specific regulations about what she can wear in for mm-hmm. safety issues, right? And certain ways of how she presents herself. She's one of the funniest people I've ever met, but you know she's not being that funny at work. Right? Right?
I don't know. I think she might be.
She might be.
I would say she's probably one who, like,
She can do it. Right?
That, like, she very much melds it together. I think it's almost a learned skill.
Yes.
And I think that part of that learned skill is relinquishing imposter syndrome.
And also, don't forget, learning means also having mistakes.
There you go.
You'll fuck up with this.
You're going to fuck it up.
I do it all the time.
But I think that, you know, with imposter syndrome, that I think comes when you start anything new, mm-hmm. when you're younger and you haven't been in the business world or you haven't been doing something for a long time, that our kind of default protective mechanism is like, oh, I'm just going to be very professional,
mm-hmm.
right? And I'm going to put on this face. And
I mean, that's every person that interviews for us.
Exactly.
Like, okay.
And we're like, crack a joke.
Yeah, we're like, we want to see you and meet you. But, like, they don't know if that's safe. They don't know if it's going to be held against them.
We should send them this episode before they interview.
Okay. What do we want them to know?
Be themselves.
But what if some people don't know how to do that professionally?
Right. To say that in the interview.
Right. I am working on my professional identity. I'm still figuring out.
Being able to feel comfortable being myself.
Yeah, professionally, right? Professionally. I think that's a really valid thing. And I think saying that really matters.
And I think, too, when we have imposter syndrome, yeah. I think an easy thing that we gravitate towards is, like, what's everyone else doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Like, what are they doing? How do I compare myself to them? You know, they're successful. And the way that they became successful is, like, being this professional, whatever. And then we look at ourselves and say, well, I'm not like that. And really, most people are faking it until they make it.
Yes, yes.
And you just don't know it.
But, and I do think that part of this is also being two white women in middle-class situations, right? As opposed to, like, if you are a Black woman coming in, you being yourself might actually be, like discriminated against in the office.
Absolutely. It wouldn't feel safe.
Yes, it wouldn't feel safe, right? And so that's what you have to think about. Like, what are the values and morals, the malus? I almost put that together. We can add them in, the malus. The values and morals of the organization and the place that I'm working for.
You should trademark that.
Because you're making somebody money.
Yes.
Whatever you're doing is making somebody somewhere money. So you better like that person. Or at least it better be good enough for you that you feel valued to be providing that service.
Or feel connected to what they're doing, feel connected to the brand. And I think that that's something we try to do as much as possible is make sure our clinicians know that they're valued because they really are.
Ugh, well, they're the best people in the actually, whole world.
Every time we have a meeting with them, we're like, we are so lucky.
So lucky. We're so
We love
lucky.
Them.
Yes, we love them.
And, like, they're giving such good care to other people and, like, living out this.
In 2 weeks, we rented an outdoor movie theater to come to my house to have a scary movie night for Halloween.
I'm so excited. I really wanted to dress up.
Okay. Yeah, nobody else wanted to.
Emily was not into that.
No. Okay. It wasn't just me at the meeting. And everyone wants sweatpants, bro.
I'm just going to blame it on you.
It's definitely me. I'm going to wait till I show up in full costume and then you can't say shit.
What would you wear?
A ghost, and I'll just wear a sheet over. That's a full costume, man.
I will fucking die if you show up with a sheet and two holes.
Then. All right, dear M and Jen, pull it out, babe, because you know I never know where my cell phone is.
Yeah, I know. We actually haven't been able to find
We haven't been able to find my cell phone all morning.
Ages.
So, Jen, we'll have to read off the dear M and Jen.
Okay. Dear M and Jen.
How do I feel more aroused by drinking a beverage at 9:30 in the morning? Sorry.
Question. I have to say the arousal has just I am amped up right now from that free reign. Dear M and Jen, any tips on dealing with my significant other's toxic family? His parents got married at 18, Mormon, and are currently going through a very toxic divorce after 20 years.
It's so sad.
His mom has just recently discovered alcohol and goes out often. Dad has completely disappeared and quickly found a new girlfriend that he lives with now. There are a lot of fights and name calling. Both parents have the emotional maturity that I did when I was a freshman in college. Any tips on being caught in the middle of all this crossfire as a significant other?
So first, you need to read Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. Oof. Right?
Yeah.
That's what, like, I really like to one. Like to get like a full rating. I highly recommend Children of Emotionally Mature Parents. I like that she identifies like they had the emotional maturity of when I was a freshman in college, because maybe these people do. If you were to think about them as 18-year-olds, would their behavior make sense to you? And probably, maybe part of like this like reverting back is like if you get married at 18. And if you're in a very like purity culture religion, you may have missed specific parts of your emotional development.
Stuck there.
Right? So it sort of sounds like they're now replaying back those early 20s. Is there one, a way to have empathy and understanding for them, which I know might be difficult because you have anger, right? And saying like, okay, if I was to think about these as somebody who were like two 18-year-olds who were going through party phases and dating phases, and maybe bad fights, right? Like that's kind of, that's what I was doing when I was 18 in college, right? I would not say my relationships were very healthy.
No, definitely not.
I was like getting wasted and screaming at my boyfriend in the street.
Absolutely. That was the thing to do, is scream at your boyfriend in the street.
I was drunk. I was drinking too much.
And you
would
see other people screaming at their boyfriend in the street. You'd be like, I get it.
Right?
Totally, that's what I get mean, it. Right? Yeah.
And like, so like, I think that like, if you would think about it that way, but How do you then also set the appropriate boundaries to not let it affect you too much? Of course, it's going to affect you. One, how do you have empathy and understanding? And then also say, but we don't need to be involved in this. But if you remember at 18, if anyone set a boundary to you, it felt like rejection. Don't forget that. At 18 years old, if a friend set a boundary with you, it felt like a big fuck you. So when you set a boundary with them, they are not going to be happy.
Right. And I think talking about setting a boundary around your relationship too, yes. right? Where the two of you can talk together about what kind of boundary do we want to set together?
Yeah.
What does this look like? How do we communicate it to kind of make sure? Because I think it's so easy to let outside external influences, mm-hmm. especially if they're your significant other's family,
yeah.
infiltrate your relationship. And that's the really what you want to protect is your relational bond.
Yes. And I think of this thing of like if somebody's coming from any type of very conservative culture, they also might be trying to figure out who they are with a ton of shame. And when you are like battling that internally, you often become very reactive because you're like always pulled in different directions, right? So like one part of me has anger that I lost my 20s and 30s, and the other part of me feels shame that I'm feeling this way. And so I also don't want to admit that because fuck that other person and screw them, and I'm just gonna be mad there, right? So like you're seeing like actual human development play out.
It's beautiful. You can be like an anthropologist.
An anthropologist. So let's talk about objective observing.
Oof.
So what you might have to do in a situation like this is to try to take a stance of objective observing, to not get involved, to think about yourself as an observer. Let's go very Jane Goodall in the Apes here.
Anthropologist.
Anthropologist, right? To observe, to understand what's happening. It doesn't mean you have to get involved to have an opinion. It means that you just witness what's occurring here. You can support your partner, but you also need to get your partner on board with this as well.
I wonder too, you know, that my first thought that came up for me is, you know, if in your family, right, like in your family of origin, if there everyone is like, you know, jump, if there's a lot of enmeshment in the family and everyone's jumping in trying to solve these problems, there's a lot of emotional reactivity. Then you very easily bring that into your understanding of someone else's family.
Yeah.
Where there's this expectation of like, I have to jump in and I have to do something about this. Right. And I think with the objective observer, another thing that, you know, you're kind of saying is to be able to take a step back and say like, this is not actually your something that you have to take control of. You can kind of step back and say, well, like, what's happening here? Right? Like, you don't have to be pulled into the system. So I think in wanting to be pulled into the system, I wonder, like, in your family of origin, what did it mean for people to get upset and reactive?
Great point.
And what did that do in the family? And how might that be playing out in your understanding of what your role is with your significant other's family? Yeah,
absolutely. So empathy, boundaries, observation.
Beautiful.
Hey, it's good to see you. If you liked this episode, which you probably didn't, frankly, it was all over the place, but if you decided that you did like this episode, send it to someone who might like it as well. We always appreciate a 5-star review. If it's one, you could just keep that opinion to yourself. You can follow, rate, review, subscribe to us. It's follow on Apple Podcasts, subscribe on all of the other amazing places you listen to your podcast. And hey, to know yourself. Hey, wait.
Hey.
To grow yourself.
You gotta know yourself.
We'll see you next week.